Welcome into the What's Up Peoria podcast, where we are dedicated to introducing you to the people, places, and events that happen in our amazing city. This is where those who work in Peoria can connect with those who live in Peoria. We hope you discover something new with us. Here are your hosts, Cammy and Gabe, on the What's Up Peoria podcast.
Hiya, folks, and welcome back to What's Up Peoria. This is Gabe you're hearing.
And Cammy.
And this week, we're diving into December with a dramaturgically delightful duo of guests, TheaterWorks' very own Chris Hamby and Paul Peterson. Welcome to the show, you two. Why don't you introduce yourselves to the listeners?
Hi, my name is Chris Hamby. I'm the C.W. McMillan Executive Director for TheaterWorks.
And I'm Paul Peterson, and for the last 2.5 years, I've been the Director of Patron Development at TheaterWorks, but actually for the last 13 years, artistically, I've been a choreographer for TheaterWorks.
Ooh.
That.
A lot of like double roles and stuff.
Yes.
That's why I'm always there.
You have to wear many hats in your roles at TheaterWorks.
Absolutely. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. So like kind of hyphenated for both of you. I did have a question, Chris. If you'd like to kind of if applicable, CW McMillan Theater, that's what it's named for, right? Constance W. McMillan, is that correct?
So there's been a big push in the nonprofit space to really create endowed positions to make sure that the staff are getting compensated, even if the nonprofit maybe can't fund that in a normal budget. So, mm-hmm. you know, the art museum has a titled position. Arizona Theater Company has a titled position. The Desert Botanical Gardens have a titled position. And so it's really a testament of faith in the staff that you have donors or folks to donate to make sure that you're getting the staff that you need. So TheaterWorks has been blessed with Constance McMillan, Connie McMillan, and so she has named my position, and so that's been for the last couple of years. So I am the C.W. McMillan Executive Director of TheaterWorks. Yeah.
Oh, that clears it up.
Yeah, I had no idea that that's how it worked, but that makes sense, and it's very cool that it is that way.
Yeah.
It's a commitment, right?
It's a commitment, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that.
And I also wanted to ask Paul, since it kind of applies to what we're doing here. It sounds like patron development involves maybe a little bit of outreach. And if we're not mistaken, is that right?
Yeah. My position, the director of patron development, I basically oversee everything, every touch point that a patron has with TheaterWorks. So it starts as early as marketing. So when they see our ads on social media, in a newspaper, on TV, it starts there. And then it goes into sales. So their experience purchasing a ticket with us. And then, of course, their patron experience coming to the theater, seeing the show, and even follow up with them afterwards. So every place that TheaterWorks and patrons come into contact is part of my responsibility.
It sounds like it could be a lot.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
But I don't have to worry about the stuff that's happening on stage. So I worry about the patrons and let other people worry about the productions.
Makes sense.
Yep. Like Chris, right?
I mean, exactly.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh, well, thanks to both of you for carving some time out of your schedules to sit with us. I say we get started with some questions for Chris, but Paul, feel free to jump in whenever you'd like if you have anything to say.
Sounds good.
All right. So I got a question for you here, Chris. So I mentioned when we first reached out to you that my partner and I had the great pleasure of seeing TheaterWorks' production of Cats. We're huge fans of Cats. And such a dance, costume, makeup, and set design heavy show is really impressive for anyone to pull off. And I've got to ask for our listeners, what does it take logistically, creatively, financially, especially as a community theater company, to nail a production as intricate and bombastic as an Andrew Lloyd Webber musical or any show like your upcoming production of A Christmas Carol, for that matter?
Yeah, I think I'll try to address those separately. So,
yeah.
You know, the process to put on a show starts far, far in advance, usually about 20 months in advance we begin the process. And so the first step is to apply for royalties. And so, you know, not every show is available and you can't get granted everything you want. We get told often no. and so first you're trying to formulate a season and you're trying to take into consideration do you have the performers that can fill those roles out in the community based on what you've seen? And then will it be a show that people want to buy tickets to as well? And so I always say our seasons are not formulated of Chris Hamby's favorite shows. They are formulated based on, you know, the talent we have available and what we think will be the draw from our ticket holders. And so once you get that done, then you start the design process. And so that, again, is about a 18-week process to put the designs together. You start those conversations far before you have actors involved. So you're starting to design costumes, design a set. Then you involve a cast. We have seen really high turnouts for our cast. So since the pandemic, things have sort of shifted and our numbers have really grown, which I think is an odd phenomenon for theaters. I know not every person is having the same narrative as Theater Works, but our numbers have gone up as opposed to gone down. And so we put that actors together with the choreographers and the music director and the director. You rehearse for 6 weeks, a very strenuous long tech week. You know, those are about, for the production team, those are honestly about, for me, it's about a 16-hour day every day. For the actors, it's about an 8-hour day. For other members of the team, it's a 12-hour day. So really long week to get you to opening night. So everyone is working on really tight budgets. You know, we're really thinking about what do we have in stock? What can be rented? Is it cheaper to rent it as opposed to purchase it? What might our friends in the community have that might be available to us? So TheaterWorks is blessed to have a really good team of artisans to build our sets and our costumes. And so we do make most everything that you see on our stage. It's very rare that it was rented or something like that. So I think a lot of people don't understand what that means. You know, we have people designing a set, which are different than the people who are supervising the build, which are often separate from the people actually doing the building, which are separate from the people actually painting the set. So it's a lot of hands to put a show up.
Yeah, that puts into perspective, you know, for anybody who's listening who isn't aware, it's a lot of work to put any kind of production together, and what y'all are doing is pretty fantastic. So thanks for.
Yeah.
Our mission has really been to elevate what people think of community theater. I think maybe somewhere there's some connotations of what that means. And so our mission has really been to go and change your mind that if you think you know what community theater is and you've not been to Theater Works, we probably will change your mind about what that means.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, definitely a more extensive process than I think anyone would imagine. And, you know, as we kind of discussed before we started recording, I'm the non-theater person in the room, but I like offering that perspective. But also, you know, when I first started with the city, which was in 2021, I actually started the week before you guys did Curiouser. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And part of that was being able to come in early and see behind the scenes. And I got to meet one of your, I guess, would you call her a fabricator? I mean, she was back there. She was one of your, you know, construction set design people. And that was such an elaborate setup for that particular production. I mean, completely mind blowing. You guys got national attention on that. But at that point, I didn't know much about community theater, but my mind was completely blown of the things that you guys were able to create in-house. I mean, we're talking the set design alone was mind-blowing.
Thank you.
Yes. So as you're saying this, I'm like, it's definitely gives you a deeper appreciation and understanding of just how elaborate the process is and how much time, just the timeline alone. You know, you're saying 20 months in advance is when things like conceptually just begin to start coming together. So just incredible. You guys really do. when you say that's your purpose is to elevate what people think of as community theater, I think you, from somebody who doesn't know much, like, I'm already blown away with what you guys do. So bravo. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people think that on a weekend when we don't have a show happening, that we're just all out on vacation sitting by the pool. But really, at any given moment, we've got multiple shows in the works, from design meetings and concept meetings to rehearsals to tech weeks to, you know, loading in the set. So there is always plenty going on to keep us busy, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That's incredible. Absolutely. You have many ways for people to get involved with theater and the stage arts, from taking acting classes to auditioning for productions to volunteering or even becoming a supporting donor, which we can go into more detail about with you, Paul, after the Poetry Corner, if you'd like. How would you encourage passionate would-be theater creatives who might feel intimidated or simply unsure of where to start in participating with you or any local community-focused artistic endeavors?
Yeah, what a great question. I really think that community theater is the heart of a community. You know, we're not bringing in artists from out of town, and so the people you see on that stage live and work in the communities where you live and work. We've had shows where we've had police officers in shows. Mm-hmm. We have lots of teachers in shows. We've had lawyers in shows. And so, you know, during the day, they're fulfilling their role in their careers, but they still have an artistic heart and that passion. And so to be able to have access to a community theater that you can do your job during the day and devote those evening hours to something that really fills your soul and rewards you that way, I think is the ultimate hub for a community. And so we have had people who have been on Broadway involved in our shows, and we've had people who have never stepped foot on a stage before in our shows. And so you're really bringing a wide spectrum of abilities and experiences together. And so I think a well-rounded community theater really is meshing all of that together, that if you have someone who has lots of experience and people who don't, that, you know, they're working together symbiotically to go, hey, if you don't know how this is, let me mentor you. Let me give you, you know, some little insight there. And so I think what TheaterWorks does well is involving all ages.
Yeah.
You know, we've had, you know, I can think of a couple of instances where we've had 80-year-olds on stage with, you know, 9-year-olds. And like, where else does that get to happen, that they're having this communal experience and that they're sort of equalized? You know, they're both there to do a job, and that young person and that older person are equal in that rehearsal room and on stage. And I think that it is really building interesting relationships and friendships that, you know, will last a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art is, to me, it's such a beautiful way to bring people together. And I really gel with that philosophy. I think that's fantastic to really kind of get people, the people you work with, the people who gather to work with you, to kind of like spread that throughout the community. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, sometimes if you're kind of on the outside of the theater world, you feel like it's a little, you know, certainly not entirely true, but it can feel a little clicky to some people who aren't very familiar with it. And it can get that way too. And I think that's a great, what you're saying is a really great way to kind of avoid that sort of, those trappings.
Yeah. I think you just got to show up and give it a shot, you know? And, I think when you're working on a large scale like TheaterWorks is, that feels maybe a little more intimidating. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, these people are pros, and they're not. They're really not. They're, you know, no one is a professional actor on that stage.
See, and I think that's a common misconception. So I think we're doing a little bit of myth busting here too, because it's like, people think that, but it's, as you're saying, that you've had people who have been on Broadway and people who have never set foot on a stage. When you're explaining that, I'm thinking about, that is truly community, right? Because you're bringing people together for a shared goal who are coming from completely different backgrounds. It's layers, right, that help build those characters. So, like, obviously, a person who is a teacher is going to be able to bring something to a character that somebody who lives in the acting world, they're kind of separated from that in a sense, right? So mm-hmm. bringing real people to the stage, I can imagine it just helps build this level of authenticity in your characters. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's great, you know, and I think the theater on stage is a place where it doesn't matter what car you drive or what clothes you're wearing, you know, like all of that is irrelevant. You're all there for, as you said, that yeah. common goal. We're all there
telling a story.
To tell a story and to get the show up and to make it the best it can be.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
So cool.
Yeah. All right. And then the next question I have, I think, is going to be really exciting for everybody who's super stoked to see A Christmas Carol. And if you aren't, why aren't you? Come on. All right. So can you tease out any exciting things to look forward to with TheatreWorks production of A Christmas Carol that might hype up our listeners to see the show? Like, what are some elements that you're excited for people to see when they come? Like, be them specific set pieces, costumes, or creative reinterpretations of the work, without spoiling any surprises, of course.
Yeah, I think our version of Christmas Carol has a good amount of magic, and so I'm really into that stage magic and making sure that we have spectacle without overwhelming the storytelling. Mm-hmm. We have the same actor playing Scrooge, who's now in his third year doing it, and he is just brilliant, you know.
He's dialed in.
Yeah, he is dialed in, and you know, he performs all over the valley, and usually it's like very edgy sort of productions, and so for him to take on Scrooge, the sort of classic character, he just has really found the humor of Scrooge, which I have not seen anyone else find the humor in Scrooge. And so this he's still the curmudgeon that we all have in our head when we think of Scrooge, but you know, he's found a way to infuse humor into that. So I think our Christmas Carol is not a musical either, and so we have our own original adaptation, and so it's been fun to mess around with the script year after year. So we do Christmas Carol in 3-year cycles, so this will be the end of our 3-year cycle, and in 2025 it'll get a
break.
It won't take a break. It will get a brand new refresh, so it will be brand new costumes, brand new sets, brand new magic, everything.
Does it get a new manuscript as well?
The script will get a little bit of work, but we will use the same foundational script.
Yeah.
But we will totally reimagine it. So,
well, you said it's already your own adaptation of it. Yes. So that's the one thing that people can't get anywhere else that TheatreWorks is offering. So I think it's important to note that as well. Okay.
Yeah. So if you've not seen it, come and experience the magic. If you have seen it, everything feels really tight this year. The actors have, we've never had actors together this long. So for 3 years, we've had a lot of returning actors, and so they really have cohesion. And so that's nice. Something we've not been able to experience. And usually you do a show and that's it. And so to be able to come back to it year after year and go, okay, if I didn't understand that line or I didn't understand that joke last year, you know, now I get it, you know.
Nice.
And once an actor performs it, everything changes. They learn how to communicate to the audience. And so you try to simulate that in a rehearsal process, you know. Yeah. I try to laugh at the jokes as much as I can, but so now I think they understand the audience and are able to tell the story in a tighter way.
That's awesome. Sounds all really the more cool. reason to see it before it changes.
Yeah.
You know,
last chance, everybody.
Right when they've got it, they're gonna nail it. They've got it dialed in. Don't miss it.
So that's cool when it's like changed up for the next iteration.
Yes.
That sounds great. All right. Well, thank you for helping give our listeners a bit more perspective into what you do for community theater in Peoria. We're gonna take a little detour into the language arts with our next segment, the Poetry Corner.
Poetry Corner.
of the Poetry Corner over here. And for this episode, we selected a fantastic poem that seemed fitting for the topic at hand, particularly with A Christmas Carol's famously eerie tone set by Scrooge's spectral visitors. From the teen category winner of the Peoria Public Library's 2024 National Poetry Month contest, here is Michaela's Gothic-inspired poem, The Old Gray Ghost. In an old gray town by an old gray shore lived an old gray ghost, once but no more. In an old gray house where the rains did pour, an old ghost lived there, once but no more. He would twist and trail through the streets of the town. He'd whisper then wail as fog drifted o'er the ground. That old ghost was alone, alone as can be. He liked it that way, with only grim silence as his black company. But along came a family of three, a father, a mother, and little Marie, who was hardly yet three. Marie was a child as sweet as can be. Her joy filled the air, and her laugh was of glee. She had curls of sunshine, lips of pink rose. Her eyes were sky blue, red were her cheeks, and her little round nose. That one small family, the family of three, moved into the town that was empty, save for the old ghostie, who wasn't much pleased. He wanted them gone. No, he wanted them dead, for death is the best way to get rid of a person, the wicked ghost said. He would strike them all dead, dead with deepest fear, which happened to all when that ghost did appear. The first to go would be little Marie, thought that awful ghost with a horrible glee. So one night, as Marie lay asleep in her bed, her lips softly smiling, her curls all spread, the gray ghost crept through the moonlit window and slipped over to hover near her fair head. Marie shall be dead. The parents are next, the ghost gleefully said. Then the whole town shall be mine once again. Then the girl stirred in her bed, and things didn't go the way the ghost had planned. Marie's blue eyes fluttered open and fell on the ghost, but she didn't fall dead like a withering rose. She looked at the ghost without anger or fear. Her face was of light, and her gaze was snow pure. The old ghost gave a scream as he looked in those eyes, full of beauty and love, 10 times magnified. Windows and shutters all shook, so great was his cry. Then the ghost, not sweet Marie, was the one who died. In an old gray town, by an old gray shore, lives a happy little family, for the old ghost is no more.
Aww.
That was a really fun one.
I love it.
Yeah. It was like if Edgar Allan Poe, Ed Gorey, and Dr. Seuss worked on a poem, this would be it.
Yeah, totally. Michaela's awesome, too. She's a volunteer at Sunrise, too. So big shout out. Nice. Thank you so much for letting us use that poem. Michaela is this chillingly playful poem. And a big thanks to you all for listening along, spreading the joy of poetry with us. Did you all want to kind of talk about it a little bit? Think about Christmas Carol. Any thoughts?
I mean, obviously, ghosts are a big part of Christmas Carol.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I always tell people the marketing side of me is, you know, our executive director, Chris, loves two things. He loves Christmas and he loves ghosts.
Yeah.
So we really nail Christmas Carol at TheaterWorks.
Yeah.
Love it.
Because those are two of his favorite things. And, you know, ghost stories were very popular at Christmas time back in Charles Dickens' day, and now not so much anymore except for Christmas Carol, but that was a normal part of the holidays, was sitting around telling holiday ghost stories. And now when we think of ghost stories, we don't really think of Christmas time, we think more of Halloween, but it was a big thing in the Victorian days, and we're excited to bring it to the stage and bring it to life every year.
Yeah. I say bring it back. Yes. Everyone should read The Old Gray Ghost on Christmas Eve to the
to me it was giving me very Cindy Lou Who and the Grinch vibes.
Yes.
You know, totally. Little Marie open those eyes and look at the ghost and boom, he was gone. Yeah. He's cured.
All right.
That's cool. Well,
again, thank you so much. Love a good poem here. So we wanted to open the floor up to both of you. Just some fun little questions, I think, would be as theater lovers yourselves. We wanted to ask, what are your all-time favorite works written for stage? How about like playwrights, composers, something as minute as a single scene or even just one show tune? Any thoughts? Any specific ones? Oh,
yeah. I love the way you guys look at each other and you're like, it's excitement.
A loaded question. I think in musical theater, probably my favorite full composition is The Secret Garden. I think it is just so well written. Sometimes musicals feel a little fluffy because it's not a lot of dialogue, and so you don't get to dig into the richness of the characters like you do in a play. But I think The Secret Garden is just phenomenally written, and the music is absolutely, absolutely gorgeous. So that is my all-time. I could see it every time. The worst production is still my favorite production. So I would go see The Secret Garden anytime.
Good pick.
In terms of playwrights, I think I'm not really a Shakespeare guy. I do appreciate the Bard, but I think my favorite playwrights are probably contemporary playwrights. Stephen Dietz, who is a contemporary playwright, I think his work is brilliant and really speaks to us where we are now. And Jeffrey Hatcher, who does a lot of adaptations, just I think everything he touches is brilliant. His productions of Jekyll and Hyde, I think, is one of the most well-written plays ever. He just is really able to take something you know and put a fresh lens on it. So I think he's doing really, really great work.
Yeah, I think for me, my favorite musical of all time, and that's hard because I'm a musical guy as a dancer and choreographer. Mm-hmm. But I think if I had to boil it down to my favorite, and this answer might be different a week from now, but right now, I would say A Chorus Line. It's a meaty show, lots of content there, but also you get the dancing spectacle. So you don't always get that a lot. But Chorus Line, you know, I had the pleasure of being in a production here locally about 13 years ago, and it was a production that still is like so near and dear to my heart. And it's just a fantastic work of art. It was the story was written based off of interviews that they did with real life dancers about their life as a dancer. And then they put it to music and they put it on stage in the most beautiful way. And so I think Chorus Line would have to be my favorite musical. As far as non-musical plays, Chris already mentioned my favorite, which is that adaptation of Jekyll and Hyde. That script is genius. What's the playwright's name again?
Jeffrey Hatcher.
Yeah, anyone listening, if you want to read an amazing script, read Jeffrey Hatcher's Jekyll and Hyde, and then try to find a production to go see it on stage because it's fantastic.
We're also both really big fans of immersive theater. I know Cammy mentioned our production of Curiouser and Curiouser, and that really was born out of experiencing immersive theater around the world, honestly. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if a lot of listeners may have been able to experience it or not, but it really is fantastic. It really allows the audience to cross the proscenium and be participatory. You know, our role oftentimes is sitting in the dark and clapping, and you know, an immersive theater really is making you part of the world, and you know, your actions have, you know, consequences often in that immersive theater space. So it's been really, really cool to see immersive theater on all scales, all formats, you know, the $10 immersive production to the multi-million dollar production. It's really, I think, an interesting space that theater has crossed into. And so I'm really excited to continue to see that sort of
evolve.
Grow and
at
evolve.
TheaterWorks, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, at TheaterWorks.
At TheaterWorks and too.
Yeah, I'm like, ooh, yeah. Are you letting us in on a secret that's
I under wish, works? I wish there was a secret, but unfortunately not right now.
Okay. But in the future, and Curiouser and Curiouser, like I said, especially as someone who hasn't seen much theater, I was just so completely blown away. And you guys actually did a pretty big research trip last year, right? Was that earlier this year or last year, where you went to Europe and you did some research on immersive theater, right?
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get a research and development grant from the Arizona Commission on the Arts, and so it allowed us to go to London for 2 weeks and experience best practices in immersive theater.
London is kind of where some of the big players in the immersive space are based out of.
Okay.
You know, the granddaddy company of immersive theater, I say, is Punch Drunk, and they're based out of London. Mm-hmm. They have a permanent location in London, and they were actually running a production called The Burnt City when we were there. And so we got to see that twice, not once, but twice. nice. We went to see it as part of the research grant, and it was just stunning.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we just conducted a webinar for the American Association of Community Theater on immersive theater. So that was really cool to be able to share with on a national scene. And
what an opportunity.
And Curiouser and Curiouser was made into a short documentary called Down the Rabbit Hole. And two nights ago, it just won an Emmy Award. So,
Oh my gosh. So congratulations. I mean, that's your story.
We're in an Emmy Award-winning documentary.
Film professor at Huntington, Phil Wilson, he's done some great things. And so we're really proud of that partnership and really proud of him and his Emmy Award for telling our story. So
telling your story, exactly.
So we do hope that will be available to the public in the near future so everyone can see his film. Yeah.
Gotta seek awesome. That out. Yeah. I'm just curiouser, so that'd be a great way for me to kind of get a taste of it.
Yeah.
Not the same thing as the actual immersion, but you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
So cool.
I don't know if this is like overlap with your favorite show or anything, but did you have any particular shows you consider dream productions for TheaterWorks?
I'm going to say it. I'm going to jump right in.
Yeah.
And I am going to, we just did Cats last year, which is a big Andrew Lloyd Webber musical. I'm going to say Starlight Express by Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yes.
I mean, if we're talking dream, purple unicorn and glitter productions, if anyone out there is not familiar, Starlight Express, the entire cast is on roller skates.
Oh my gosh.
And they play train cars.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. And so
I've been wanting
if we
to see
could
this.
Turn the PCPA into a roller skating arena, not just a rink, it's got to be an arena.
Uh-huh.
And Starlight Express, let's do it. Like
I say dream big.
Dream big. Dream big.
First step, curiouser and curiouser. Next step, what is it?
Starlight Express.
Starlight Express. That's cool.
Oh.
I think Chris? My dream project is, probably people will be surprised, but is Into the Woods. It is the show that when I was a young person, I did not really enjoy the musical theater. I was like, I didn't get it. People start to sing and dance. I don't understand it. I was, I wanted Greek drama. I wanted, heavy. I wanted Arthur Miller. And and then Into the Woods really was like, oh, this is different. This storytelling is much different here. And so I've had several opportunities, to put it in our season. And I just thought, I've only directed 150 shows. I'm probably not ready yet to do Into the Woods. But, and so I think in the near future, I am finally feel like, okay, I understand it being an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And to really tackle that, I think will be a highlight of my career. I've purposely waited. And when you see Into the Woods in our season, it will be special.
I'm like, I'm going to that one.
Yeah.
I love that.
Absolutely love Sondheim, one of my favorite Sondheim musicals. Oh, well,
that's awesome.
I wanted to say thank you again so much for both of you coming in, taking time out of your schedules to sit with us, talk theater, talk A Christmas Carol. Before we go, did either of you have anything you wanted to plug, any calls to actions, parting thoughts that you'd like to share with the listeners before we wrap up?
I'll go first because I'm sure Chris's will be a lot more meaningful than mine. But, I will just say that if anything you heard is interesting today, follow TheaterWorks. Follow us on social media, TheaterWorksAZ on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. Also, sign up for that weekly email newsletter because it truly hurts my heart when I'm out in the community and people are like, I just don't know what's going on at TheaterWorks. And I'm like, we're trying every way to let you know. follow us on social media, sign up for that weekly email newsletter. And we've got everything out there that you need. So whether you're looking to volunteer, come to a show, sign up for a class, who knows, maybe we'll do paint and sip nights again. When we do, they'll be on our social media and they'll be in that email weekly newsletter. So
nice. Yeah,
that's my big one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, next year is our 40th anniversary season. So TheaterWorks will have been around for 40 years. And so we have some really big things planned. So please keep an eye out for those as they get announced in the new year. But I really think the best way to support any theater is actually by buying a ticket, because even that $100 donation or even a $1,000 donation, while those are really important, knowing that you're going to buy that ticket, you're going to enjoy what you're seeing, you're going to bring someone else with you, and that multiplier that we have people who have been buying tickets to TheaterWorks since 1986, you know, till now. And that is the biggest gift that you can really give a theater. So if you're looking for a way to help, buy a ticket or introduce someone to TheaterWorks. If you are already a fan out there through a gift certificate or something like that, but let us see you in our building. Let us share that space with you and have that communal experience. You know, this might be off tangent, but there have been a lot of scientific studies that in the last couple of years that when an audience is together, their heartbeats start to synchronize. And so they really are having that shared experience, those highs and those lows. And that is happening by being in that seat, by sitting next to someone. And I just think, how cool is that, that we are actually experiencing these things together with those actors on stage that are, yeah, you know, real people, you know, it's not TV, it's not a screen. And so, buy a ticket. Yep. Come say hi to me. Come say hi to Paul. We'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
Awesome. If that ain't absolutely
community, I don't know what is, honestly.
I know. All of that. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, sharing so many gems today and just letting us pick your brains and get into the deeper dive of what community theater is. I know I've learned a lot. I'm sure Gabe had a head start. But like I said, this is his baby. But yeah, thank you so much just for sharing what you do for our community and community theater and how we can continue to support TheaterWorks moving forward. So
absolutely.
Go to Christmas Carol.
Yeah, go to Christmas Carol.
So what are the dates for that production? It will...
Yes. Christmas Carol opens December 6th and runs until December 22nd. We have 13 public performances, both evening and matinee. You can get the full schedule online. Also, I do want to mention that on December 12th it's the day of the Old Town Holiday Festival here in Peoria, but that afternoon at the 2:00 performance, that's a Peoria appreciation performance. And so what that means is that you can get a ticket for whatever price you want to pay, starting as low as $7. And so we, you know, really partner with Peoria to try to make theater accessible to the entire community. And so the December 12th matinee will be a Peoria Appreciation Pay What You Can performance. So get your tickets soon, because that one does sell out.
Yes. And I just want to make sure that we have the date is the 14th, I believe, right?
The 14th.
Yes, it's the 14th, not the 12th.
Correction. Yeah.
Close.
December 14th. I have so many dates in my head.
No problem.
14th at 2:00 is the Peoria Appreciation performance. And so you can come for the 2:00 performance. And then when you leave, the Old Town Holiday Festival will be starting. And so you can visit the food trucks and all the great festivities that the Peoria team brings to Old Town during the holidays.
Awesome. Thank you for that plug.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
People get on getting those tickets for real, seriously.
Yeah.
All right. Well, again, thank you. I know I got to say thank you over and over again, but I really mean it. Thank you so much for sitting with us. We're going to actually pivot now to announcing Peoria's exciting events coming up. So stay tuned. And thanks again, Chris and Paul.
Thank you.
All right, are you ready for December's upcoming programs? There's a lot, including the aforementioned TheaterWorks production of A Christmas Carol that starts on Friday, December 9th, that you can find more information about, including links to purchase tickets on their website at theaterworks.org. Or you can also call the box office at 623-815-7930. Without further ado, let's get into some announcements. Gabe, can you catch us up on what's happening at the libraries?
Totally, yeah. So I'll give you the scoop on our fantastic free programs for this month, up until a point, because we'll announce the ones closer to the next episode when we get there. First off, I wanted to announce that the winter reading program is in full swing. Come by either library branch to pick up your reading log and read 20 minutes a day for 20 days for prizes. This awesome program ends on January 4th. So what are you waiting for? And come by the Sunrise Mountain Library for Cookies with the Clauses on Wednesday, December 11th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. for cookie decorating, crafts, cocoa, and camera shots with the Clauses. And to promote their production of Beauty and the Beast, Arizona Broadway Theater invites you to join everyone's favorite brainy bookworm for a special story time with Belle. Come to the Peoria Main Library for this story time's first showing, happening on Thursday, December 12th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. A second showing will be happening at the Sunrise Mountain Library the following Thursday, December 19th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. And just as a heads up, this story time will take place instead of our library's regularly scheduled story times. And on Saturday, December 14th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., we're having a special Sensory Santa showing at the Main Library. This is a wonderful program that is geared more towards children with sensory issues in mind, kids on the autism spectrum, and all that. It's a really great program and a great opportunity for the meet and greet, photo op, all designed with these kiddos in mind. So please come by if you are interested.
Okay, and then on the special events side, we've got the Peoria Holiday Festival coming up on December 14th. That's going to be in downtown Peoria from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. along 83rd Avenue between Washington and Jefferson Streets. So if you're wishing for a winter wonderland, you're going to want to come out for a great time. We're going to have lots of live entertainment, live music, of course, a tree lighting ceremony, meet and greets with Santa Claus, just a variety of fun things for the whole family. So make sure that you come out and join us for this well-loved annual event. You can find more information at peoriaaz.gov/events. I also want to share that we do have a holiday performance happening over at the Peoria Center for the Performing Arts on December 18th. Holiday Jazz with the AZ Swing Kings is a free concert. It'll be happening December 18th starting at 7 p.m. You can get your spirit on with this 19-piece big band featuring two guest vocalists crooning a jazzy lineup of bright and cheery holiday hits. So make sure that you join us for that. Again, that is free programming. You just have to reserve. We recommend that you reserve your tickets in advance, which you can do so at peoriaaz.gov/PCPA, or actually you can reserve your tickets also on the TheaterWorks website at theaterworks.org. That's all I've got.
Yeah, thank you so much, Cammie. I think that's about all the time we have for today, but thank you so much for tuning in. You'll be hearing from Cammie and I again in 2 weeks for a delectable episode highlighting some local cuisine. As always, don't forget to check our show notes for links to our website, events calendar, and social media. And until next time, this has been What's Up Peoria.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the What's Up Peoria podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes. If you'd like to connect with our team, please email us at whatsuppeoria@peoriaaz.gov. Until next time, this is What's Up Peoria.